Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is going to come.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
I'm so delighted to be coming across these airwaves and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I also thank you for allowing me into your workspace, into your living room area, and then being able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. I want to take this opportunity right now to send prayers out to the Monroe family and all the 9 passengers that was on the plane that crashed on the weekend, and all of you that also have lost loved ones as well around the country. We want to send condolences out to you, you and you, letting you know that you're not alone. For when you saw only one set of footprints, that was when God carried you. And we're just praying that God will restore restoration and peace and contentment back into your heart. These and other blessings we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, we're going to go now into our intro prayer. And we come across these airways introducing our Lord and Savior, a soon coming Messiah, introducing to some and presenting to others. Jesus Christ is his name. His native is of Nazareth, and we want to acknowledge him on tonight. I'm asking those of you that will, that are out there in my live digital audience on tonight, to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and acknowledge our Lord and Savior at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us together in unity once again around the spectrum, God. For we know that this earthly soil that we're standing on, God, is not our eternal destination. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on tonight, Father God, to anoint these lips of clay, to be able to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I be with you tonight, 45 minutes on the clock. Hope and pray that you had a beautiful day. Hope and pray that all was well in your family circle, and all continually to be well with you and yours. And we're going to go right now on into our live program that's already in progression. I want you to get you a good seat, get you a cushion to position your posture, get you some chips and dip and whatever you want to sip. Get your iPads, get your pencil, your pen, your paper, your notepad, if you want to just go along and take notes, and if not, if you just want to listen in, whatever your preference. May God bless you, you and you, all of my loyal and faithful listeners. this has been such a blessing. And God has a name, has a blessing with your name engraved on it. God say he blesses a cheerful giver. And you can rest assured God is a spiritual man of his word. He said before any jot, J-O-T, of his word come back void, V-O-I-D, heaven and earth will pass away. All right, our sermon on tonight entitled Divorce, Desertion by an Unbeliever. And we're going to read our first key scripture on tonight coming out of the law of 1 Corinthians 7 and 39. And it reads this. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is free to remarry. And God placed this title on my heart on this evening / tonight because we know that in this fast-paced society in which you and I live, we know that it's an epidemic in our marriage circle. We are just having so many divorces, and it's going at an expeditiously rate. And we know that we have men and women that are spiritually inclined, that has husband and wives that don't know the Lord. And you might be having some marital problems in your spiritual life. And I just want to just tune in on this tonight. And I'm going to give also the numbers on the monitor. And if you have any prayer petitions at the conclusion of this program, you can call in and we will be so gladly, the worship of Zion, to go down in prayer on your behalf. If you have any testimony of blessings that God has done in your life and you want to share it with others to strengthen their faith, you're also welcome to do so. And we're going to give you those numbers right now. And those numbers into the studio are 646-200-4444. All right. Next number, I am so sorry. That is incorrect number. That's my number. Let me give you that number again. Correction, please. 646-200-3074. 877-598-8654. Those numbers again are 646-200-3074. 877-598-8654. So you're welcome, like I said, at the conclusion of this program. Have any prayer petitions, you are just welcome to call in to the studio and talk with the host. May God bless you, and we're going to go right now back into our live program. All right, now we're talking about desertion by an unbeliever. May the unbeliever be the wife or the husband. Hallelujah. You give me some light so I can see and might have to get my specs so I can be able to see what I'm bringing across to you. Hallelujah. And you just pray my strength in the Lord on tonight. I'm just going to do a little light teaching on tonight. I'm not going to come before you, you know, just hard tonight, but I'm just coming light. Hallelujah. And so we know that when one mate is an unbeliever and willfully and permanently deserts the believer, that's the partner. Now, in order for us to understand this, we'll have to go into the law of 1 Corinthians 7 and 12 through 15 and read it very carefully. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, we know the Lord says that if any brother, being a Christian, if you have a wife who is an unbeliever, consents to live with him. The Bible tells us to let him not send her away. Then again, if a woman is a Christian who has an unbelieving husband, which is a non-Christian, and he consent to live with her, the Bible tells us, let her not send her husband away. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her unbelieving husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, for now they are holy. Yet, if the unbelieving one is a non-Christian, leave, let him leave. The brother or sister, a Christian, is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. And we know that Paul is giving sound advice on marriage. He is offering counsel nowhere else revealed in Scripture. We know that this passage is unique and that it addresses the very common problem of a mixed marriage. We know that one partner is a Christian, and we know that the other is not. Instantly enough, we know that the counsel does not assume that such marriages are always unbearable. On the contrary, there are times when harmony and compatibility, hallelujah, is to an extent, and it is possible. In such cases, we know that the Christian is strictly forbidden to walk away from the marriage. And if the unbeliever desires to remain, stay put. Stay put. Then we know that there are other occasions when the unbelieving ones want to leave, and we can take note that he or she is not forced out. And the non-Christian mate willfully deserts, meaning that they walk out and they refuse to stay. And they say, hey, I want to go. And they choose to leave. Now, God's counsel to the Christian's work is left, and let him leave. In other words, the Christian is not under obligations to plead. You're not under obligations to beg, or you are not under obligations to bargain or to force the non-Christian partners to remain. The Bible tells us, rather, let him leave. But that is not the end of this counsel, mind you. Verse 15 goes on to say that the brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. We know that the key phrase is not under bondage. It's meaning, well, at the root of the Greek term is doulos, the New Testament term for slave. And slaves were bound to their masters, inseparable link to them. It is a strong word suggesting a firm, solid tie. Hallelujah. And I'm reminded of the verse in Genesis 2 that says that the man cleaves to his wife. Remember, that word means glue. Paul clearly has the marriage bond in mind here. Later in the chapter, he refers to this bond as being terminated at the death of one man. All right, and we'll go right back to our key scripture on tonight. And it says, if a wife is bound as long as her husband lives. But if her husband is dead, she is free to remarry. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 1 Corinthians 7 and 39. And that verse clearly states that death frees the husband or the wife from the bondage of marriage. And it's allowing the freedom of a remarriage. Hallelujah. It is the term bound that interests us. Back in verse 15, we are told that the deserted Christian is not in bondage any longer. Hallelujah. And the normal sense of that term is clear. There is no need to seek some other sense Being free of that bondage oddly means being free of the responsibility of that marriage. We know that desertion of the unsaved partner breaks the bond, thus freeing the believer to divorce and to have the power to remarry. Hallelujah. We know that Christian brothers and Christian sisters is not in the position of a slave, namely bound to the unbelieving husband or believing wife in an indissoluble union in case such as these. But God has called us to live in peace. Hallelujah. Probably don't need to be told that all sorts of suggestions have been made by sincere and qualified students of the scripture. And they've explained what constitutes desertion. Hallelujah. And to spell out what's not under bondage, it really means that when we read of the departure of an unbelieving partner, hallelujah, and it leaving means just that, leaving. Permanent is indefinite in mind. It implies a determined and willful decision that result in leaving the relationship with no desire to return. You have no interest in cultivating that home. You have any plans to bear the responsibility and no commitment to the vows once taken. And that leaving and the one being left has little doubt in such case that the marriage is over, is finished, ended. Hallelujah. And we know that the wife, she can be a wife that's barren or a wife with children. And we know that in a case, there was a story of a wife that had children. And she was left by her husband. And he just happened to be a physician. And he was an unbeliever, and he would no longer tolerate her relationship to Jesus Christ. And we have that in our society today, to where the home is in an uproar because you have one believer that's believing in Jesus Christ, and then you have the other one that's a non-believer, and it brings tension. It brings disarray in the home. And so, but this particular wife was careful, and she did not cram her belief down her husband's throat. And she remained a charming and affectionate, gracious mate. And in spite of his obnoxious action and cruel remarks, ultimately, however, he walked away, made no provisions to help her financially or otherwise. And it brought embarrassment. And she was heart sick. And the wife, husband, parents, they stepped in and assisted their daughter-in-law in whatever way that they could for an extended period of time. And she heard no words from her husband. He had definitely left her. But she remained faithful to God. Hallelujah. Now that her husband was gone, and now divorce followed. The woman walked with God. She didn't give up on God because her husband walked out on her. She stayed committed to God. And I want to encourage you that are out there, my listening audience tonight. You might have a mate that not particularly interest in your Christianity belief. But you hold on to God, unchanging hand. God's got you wrapped in the cradle of his love. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, the wife stayed with God, although she went through a painful experience. She was a remarkable model of patience and forgiveness, and she allowed bitterness never to creep in. And the marriage had ended, but no means was her life finished. We find out that met the man who had been in her high school sweetheart. He had never remarried. For some strange way, he was convinced that the Lord would one day bring the two of them together. Although he had lost track of her whereabouts, he had this eternal confidence that they would someday marry. By the way, he was also a physician, and he had to know Christ personally. And their courtship was beautiful to behold. Hallelujah. And so, we know that when you stay with God, God will not leave you. And if you seek to remarry, you want to remarry and have another mate, God will give you the ideal husband, the ideal wife that's compatible to you, that love God and will live the life of Christ. And that's what happened. This woman found the charm and sweetheart of her life, and they was able to rekindle the courtship and then marry, and both of them are living for God, and the children is living for God, and they just set the example. So this is for those of you that are living for Christ, but yet you have a mate that's not living for Christ. I want you to just stay encouraged. Keep on holding up the bloodstained banner for our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, because God knows that he works out all things for our good. Sometimes it might seem like, you know, that we're having it hard and like, you know, we just really have hit rock bottom, but God lets us know that we are never alone. We are always with God, and God is always with us. He never leaves us. And we know that there are times and extreme cases against the wishes and efforts of the committed mate that the marriage bond is destroyed beyond any human ability to restore it. We find out that the scripture teaches that God's divine, hallelujah, concession to human weakness is occasionally justified, and it allows the Christian divorced person the right and freedom to remarry in the Lord. We know that there are three such cases set forth in God's word, each provided by his grace. Number one, when the marriage and divorce occur prior to salvation. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Number two is when one mate is guilty of sexual immoralities and is unwilling to repent and live faithfully with the marriage partner. That scripture reading is found in the law of Matthew 19 and 9. Thirdly, when one of the mates is unbeliever and willfully and permanently deserts the believing partner. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 Corinthians 7 and 15. Hallelujah. And before closing, a warning must be sounded. We know that being human and sinful and weak, we are all equipped with a remarkable ability to rationalize. Unless we can conscious God's against it, when we experience marital difficulties, we'll begin to search for a way out instead of a way through. Given sufficient time in the divorce will seem our only option. Our long-awaited and much-deserted mate. And we will begin to push in that direction, at times ignoring the inner voice of God's Spirit, and at other times violating the written principle of God's Word. Either it is a grievous act. I warn all of us against such thought and actions. To carry out the carnal procedure is to short-circuit the better plan God has arranged for his people. Worse than that, it is twist that glorifies grace of God into a guilt relieving excuse for giving us what we have devised instead of accepting what he has designed. Where God permits divorce and remarriage, humble, let us accept it without fear or guilt. Let us not call unclean what he now calls clean, but neither let us put words in his mouth and make him say what he in fact has not said. No matter how miserable we may be, there is something much worse than living with a mate in disharmony. It's living with God in disobedience. In closing, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit and to impact your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you'd want the old ship beside you to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal, Digital, World, Wide Ministry. Your station has been Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we come across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We will now change the dimension of the program. We will now bring you songs of Zion to uplift your spirit, to encourage your heart. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Thank you. Heaven. say why?
Because he has done great things. He has done great things. Oh Lord, I thank you. When you're going through so much, you learn to bless His holy name. Don't you know that?